This is Money Every Month with Robin Roberts of Pikes Peak National Bank and Tim Lee of Hoff and Lee. Robin and Tim will help you find and fund assets to build personal wealth. Now, here's Robin and Tim.
This is episode 4 of Money Every Month. This is the show where we help you find and fund assets to build personal wealth. I'm Robin Roberts with Pikes Peak National Bank, here with Tim Lee with Hoff and Lee Commercial Real Estate. And today we are talking about how you fund commercial real estate purchases. There are basically, we're going to talk about three main ways that you
do. Put in a fourth way too. I found a fourth way.
Oh, you did? Okay.
Yeah, just go out in the backyard and pick money off the money tree.
Oh, the money tree.
Money tree, yeah.
We all know about the money tree.
My grandkids think I have a money tree. So they go, hey, memes, oh.
Yeah, my daughter thinks that I have one,
too.
Can
we go to Target? They like to go to Target and shop. So yeah, let's just go pick some money off the money tree. And you know what? I might do that as a business. I might, you know, actually, like, get a fake tree, you know, that you can get, like, in a planter box thing and put it in the backyard with, like, you know, paper clips. And, you know, put some fake, you know, Monopoly money up there. Mm-hmm. And there you go. We have money. Wouldn't that be, that'd be kind of cool?
I mean, there you
go. My neighborhood, you think my neighbors would appreciate that?
Oh, I'm sure. In your neighborhood, yes, for sure. Well, there are lots of ways that, I mean, there are a lot of creative ways that people purchase commercial real estate. But in general, there are three main ways that they do. And so today we're going to talk about those three ways. And we're going to start really with probably the least expensive as far as interest rates go way, which is conventional commercial mortgages, which are done primarily through banks. Sometimes private lenders do them as well. But bank conventional commercial mortgages are different than your residential mortgage.
They are, so, because a residential mortgage is like 30 years long.
Yes. A lot of people who have not borrowed commercially before and they're buying a property.
It's like the Ginsu knife, right? Just when you didn't think, Chris Werner's calling, maybe he heard our ad. It's like a Ginsu knife. When you think you'd never, you know, like it's, you buy the set, but there's more. And so Biden's proposal that I heard a couple of days ago, coming out through Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac and those kind of places. So if you, like, because of the COVID and you got like a stimmy, like forbearance, then so you have like a 30-year, let's say you're 10 years into a loan, and then for like the last 12 months you weren't paying it. And so that bus hits the bridge abutment like in September. And so they don't want the government and the financial people don't want that to happen. So they're going to, the proposal is to extend it from September through now to December. So you get 3 months. But in that extension period, and this is like a whole other conversation for a whole show. So the lender who has your loan, if it's resold to Fannie or Freddie, which 99% of the loans are, so probably talking to whoever's listening, they have to go back to you if you have been in forbearance and offer to take that forborne? I mean, I don't know what you call that.
The
amount
the
forbearance, you know, whatever. Put it on the end of your loan and then add, so you can have a new, brand new 40-year loan. Have you heard this?
No.
40 years. So if you're 10 years into a loan, you end up essentially with a 50-year loan on your house because you've been 10, you're going to add 40. We've talked about this before. The change in the financial system in America that's occurring right before our very eyes. And so, you know, the system, the economy used to grow through production and, people would produce more and all that kind of stuff. And so, you know, values would go up and prices would go up and earnings would go up and all that stuff. Now it's just about, you know, how much money they can put into the system. And so you want to have people have more money every month, so they can go borrow more money, because that's called the creation of capital. And so what we have is a creation of capital kind of an economy at this point. And so if you take a loan, and anybody could do this, if you could do a simple loan calculator and do whatever loan you want to and amortize it over 30 years, you're going to come up with a payment. And if you do this same math and you come up with a 40-year amortization, the payment's going to go down. Then if the payment goes down, that means you have more money every month. If you have more money every month, you can go to the bank or whoever you want to, and you can redo your loans, theoretically get more cash, go buy more stuff because we're consumer economy, and it makes the merry-go-round go round and round. It's like we're all crazy.
You better hope that the value continues to go up because you're making less. You're not paying that down.
Right, but I don't think people are thinking about that long term. They're thinking about how do we keep everybody from how do we keep the 2.6 million people who are in forbearance from losing their house?
Right.
Right. So here's an idea. Let's just lower their payment. And how do you do that? Well, you can't. They've signed a loan. They have to pay the loan. But let's just modify the loan and make it, 40 years. I mean, it's like buying a car for 8 years. Who would pay for 8 years on a car?
People do it all the time.
You get sick of the car 3 years in, right?
I don't think people expect that they're going to pay it off.
You're going to get sick of your house in 40 years? Oh, my gosh. Anyway, I'm sorry I digress, but it's just so crazy to me.
Well, I mean, we are talking about residential mortgages when you talk about these forbearances and people who have not borrowed commercially to buy commercial real estate and get a commercial mortgage before. They are thinking, oh, this is like getting a residential mortgage. And commercial real estate mortgages are different. They are, first of all, not sold. Generally speaking, they're not sold like your residential mortgages. They're held in the bank's portfolio. They're not amortized. They're definitely not amortized 40 years. They're not even amortized 30 years. Usually they're about 20 years. Sometimes they'll go to 25 years. So amortizations are shorter on your commercial mortgage, which means your that affects your payment. And then the interest rate, probably the most
Figured that out. Why does a commercial loan, I mean, think about this. I should get lower rates.
Well, you always think you should
Lower rates. Right? I'm just saying, I'm just like looking with like a sad puppy dog eyes at you. You're one of my lenders. I was like, come on, man. Give me a lower rate.
What he's complaining about is that commercial loans don't have a fixed rate for the whole 20 years of the amortization like your residential mortgage does for 30 years or 40 years. The bank keeps it in their loan portfolio. Interest rates move up and down. There's interest rate risk there. So generally, they'll be fixed for 5 years, maybe 7 years, sometimes 10 years, depends on the interest rate environment.
So at the bank level, you're up there with the big shots. So do you guys like to have people who actually pay the loans off? I mean, are you like hoping that, oh my God, I hope this guy comes in and extends the loan so we can make more interest? What's that like a point of philosophy for a bank?
The bank isn't really looking at we don't want them to pay it off, or I hope they extend it. When it comes time, like the 5 years is done, maybe it's a fixed rate for 5 years over with a 20-year amortization, we don't want to lose that loan. And so we're certainly going, if it's a good borrower, we're certainly going to be competitive to keep that loan. But banks are really looking at how is the loan performing? Because unlike your residential mortgage, with commercial mortgages, you're providing tax returns and financial statements to the bank every single year. And borrowers are not prepared for that if they have not borrowed commercially. And that is common. It's really required regulatory-wise, so banks really don't have a choice. They ask you for tax returns and financial statements every year that you have the loan, and then we rework all of your ratios, your debt ratios. We look to see, is your business... are your revenues trending upward? Have you taken on a bunch of debt? Have you lost your largest customer? Maybe there's some clouds on the horizon. So the bank really knows a lot about your business throughout the loan. And so we're not really thinking, oh, I don't want them to pay it off, or, oh, I hope they extend it so we'll get more interest. We're more looking at, oh, this is a good borrower, so we want to keep this borrower. Or this borrower has some problems in their business.
And so they're
going to have to go somewhere else.
And that borrower is borrowing the money because we call it, working the VIG or, working the spread or whatever. So they're going to borrow money to, buy a building and make a payment because they're going to make more money every month because they're earning more on that money that they borrowed. And so I wrestle with myself about this all the time. We have had this conversation. I've got, a property I could pay the loan off on, and my personal challenge is that interest rates are so low, should I keep the loan because the rate's low and then use that money to go do something else, are you better off paying the loan off? And I go back to I didn't know if you knew this, but I'm a Bible scholar, And, you know, a loose Tim Lee paraphrase is don't be a borrower or a lender. I think that's somewhere in there somewhere. But, or I've been told. One of my Episcopal friends told
me
that.
Isn't it like a neither a borrower or a lender be?
Yeah, I know you bail me out. But you go back to that and you say, okay, what's the principle? What's the basic what you know, because you look at the world's a crazy place. And you could talk about, hey, I need to go borrow as much money as I possibly can and go invest in crypto. And I actually, by the way, as a total sidebar, I came up with a way. So, you know, Robert Kiyosaki talks about the single biggest liability that you have. Do you know what it is? It's your house.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because an asset is something that gives you money every month, which is what we like to talk about. And a liability is something that costs you money every month. What's the single biggest expense you have?
Your house.
Your house. Yeah. So think about that. I actually was thinking about this the other day, and maybe a topic for a whole show. But I have an opportunity because I you know some people that were asking if I would lend them money as a private lender, because that's one of the one of the things that I do is I do private lending. And a person is a new home builder, and so asked me if I would lend them some money to build this particular new home. And I would get a first mortgage on it. So very, very secure, safe kind of an investment. And I thought, I have no debt on my house because that's one of my principles and one of my tenants is no car payment, no house payment. And so I thought, if that being said, that if my house is my biggest liability, if I went and I got a loan against my house for, let's say, three, and I took that money and I loaned it to the person building the new house, who's willing to pay me 10, I'm making 7 on the spread, so I've turned my biggest liability into an asset. Mm-hmm. And so all of a sudden, I'm making, let's say, $35,000 against, $15,000. I'm making $20,000 net a year on my biggest liability on my house. So it's really a cool way, and you talk about financing. See, so one of the things I like about this show is we provide this education and kind of concepts and stuff that people don't normally think about. And, obviously we'd be happy to talk to them offline or whatever, but if they want to contact us. But I thought, you kind of think, man, I need to do that deal because it's like free money, right? But then that means you have to go borrow money, go into debt, which is antithetical to the way that my core is, which is buy, pay down, and pay off. And so the whole system is so jacked up at this point. So I think that's why what you're talking about, how to do the lending is so important, because If you don't have a lender and you don't know how the financial system works, it's like going into a baseball game with 2 feet but no arms. You can't swing the bat, right? You can be there and you kind of shuffle down the bases, but you can't swing the bat. You can't score.
Well, and especially if you've never borrowed commercially before,
right.
It's just a different animal. And if you're not dealing with a lender who's going to help you walk through the process and understand what you're doing, there are so many places where you could make a mistake. Not right now. It's not a mistake right now. It's 2 or 3 or 4 years down the road, or even longer, when your situation changes, the economy changes, and then there's all these little things in your commercial loan that you didn't even know about that now can come back and bite you because you didn't know about them. So commercial mortgages are just different. So just to recap that particular type of funding mechanism, 20-year amortization, not 30 years, 5-year fixed, 7-year fixed, 10-year fixed. At the end of that fixed rate, then usually the rate is renegotiated at whatever the rate, current rate environment is. And then as long as you've been a good borrower, you're making your payments, your business looks good, the bank just renews it and you just keep on going.
Yeah, and I've had this conversation with buyers. They go, well, I said, let me tell you how commercial loan works, right? So you go down to the bank and they give you a bag of money and all that stuff. But then, you talk about what you're talking about is what we call the adjuster. That's like the street slang, right? The adjuster. It's like, the dirty adjuster is going to come in 7 years, and that's when you got to be ready to, and then if you get lucky. So I remember I bought a house at 17%, like 1979. And the guy at that time, they kept saying interest rates are going to keep going up. So, buy now. It's only 17%. And I bought a couple of commercial buildings way later, and I forget when it was, maybe in the, early 2000s probably or something like that. And they had adjusters on them. And it was interesting because rates had come down and down and down. And when I bought those buildings, I think I paid 6%, which everybody thought was a great deal. But by the time the adjuster came around, it actually went down. And so it can go for you. It doesn't have to just go against you.
Oh, yeah. I mean, especially like in the last, 15 years?
Oh, yeah.
It's definitely gone for commercial borrowers.
Right.
Rates are very low. Rates for commercial loans are generally based on prime, not treasuries like mortgage, residential mortgage loans are. So, I mean, prime right now is 3.25. It's about the lowest it goes. And so if you're at 3.85, for example, that's an excellent rate for commercial. Don't look at commercial loan rates and say, well, my mortgage is at 2.8. Different animals. It's not priced the same. So if look at what prime is. Prime is 3.25. So what is your spread above prime to figure out what kind of deal you're really getting. Also on down payments for conventional commercial loans, generally it's 20%.
Unless you're a rich doctor and you're buying a medical office building.
Okay. Then it's less?
I think. Isn't that what they always say?
I don't know.
Doctors always have such great credit, but I think it's just funny because, like, okay, a lot of people make good money, but I guess doctors, and there are actually some people that just lend to doctors.
Yeah, I was going to say there are some banks that have great medical financing departments, and it's based on their education, which is looked at as it can always earn money. You're always going to earn money with your education. Although you and I know some doctors that don't necessarily make some money.
I know some doctors that don't make that much money, but
but that's how those kinds
of departments
really. I used to be a doctor.
Really, was the doctor of love.
Oh, okay.
I'll have to tell you a story off air sometime.
Yes,
it's
that's
pretty funny.
Right.
Yes.
For off air. Okay. So 20% down payment, 80% loan, generally for commercial real estate, mortgages that are done through banks. So let's talk about SBA guaranteed loans because we do these all the time.
Okay, I have a question for you. And somebody should have called you earlier today to ask you this question. I don't know if she did or not, but I sent somebody to you who was trying to get an SBA loan, and it was going to be about a couple million dollars. And I said, so ask Robin with an SBA loan if you don't have to have 2 years worth of tax returns for your business, because you can kill or cure your deal right away. And this is why it's really important to have a team around you and have some knowledge, because they were futzing around with another lender. And, oh, yeah, we can get you an SBA loan and all that stuff. I said, you know, dude, you've been in business for like 15 months. I don't think you even qualify for SBA. I mean, you have to have 24 months worth of track record. Isn't that the rule? It's not. Mm-hmm. So I lied. Did I lie?
No, you were just misinformed.
Yeah, story of my life. Okay. All right. I thought that's what it was.
No, with SBA, they can provide projections.
That's like criminal.
Well, I mean,
government.
I can't use projections if I'm doing a conventional commercial mortgage.
Right.
But if I have that SBA guarantee, so let's talk about how the SBA loan is structured so people will understand why they can be flexible on that. Remember, conventional commercial mortgage, 20% down payment, one first mortgage for 80% of the purchase price is what the bank is doing. With SBA, you're actually going to do two loans. So you as a borrower are only putting 10% down. The bank does a mortgage for 50% of the purchase price at very similar terms to what we just talked about. And then the SBA does a second mortgage for 40% of the purchase
price. And
that
40% is at a fixed rate for like 30 years or something.
You can go 20 or 25, the borrower chooses.
So it's
but
like
it
a house
is
loan.
Fixed because they're sold. Yeah. They're sold to investors. So that SBA, and those rates right now are like 2.9.
So you've got
40% of your purchase price in this second mortgage at 2.9. fixed for 20 years or
so
fixed for 25 years.
How come I can't get an SBA loan on my investment properties?
Because
that's set up. I know the answer.
I know. SBA is your business has to occupy 51% of the property or more, because the purpose of the program is all of these businesses that are leasing to actually be able to get their own real estate and have control over their business's future. So it's not for investment properties. It's not for office buildings. You can have tenants. Your business has to occupy 51% or more, and you have to be able to show that you can cash flow the debt service without any tenant
and so
payment.
I'm Joe Schlumpf, and I want to open up, a business, a dog grooming business, right? And I'm going to buy a 10,000 square foot building, it's like 2 5,000 square foot bays. I'm going to be in one, and I'm going to have an empty one. So it's 50-50. So how do I finesse around that? Do I just lie and say I'm going to be in a little more space? Or am I just out of luck?
No, you just say you're going to, I mean, you have to be at 51%, so you're going to have to change your square footage in some way. I would not recommend lying to the SBA.
Well, no, I'm trying to get street knowledge to our folks here. You know, it's like, there's got to be a trick to it, right? But then, my income, so what's the requirement? How many years tax? I mean, if you do projections, I'm going to go in there and say, oh, yeah, I'm going to grow into that other side next year. I'm going to quadruple my business.
No.
It's like I'm going to grow a Pinocchio nose.
But you're giving those projections first to the bank and then to the lenders at SBA. And we're going to take those projections and compare them to other businesses in your industry. We're going to stress test them.
Oh.
So you're not just going to give us blue sky projections and then us say, oh, okay, well, let's just do the loan. And the SBA is really strict on projections as well. So they have to make sense.
I just figured if it was from the government and it was talking about money, it was free.
Yeah, well, not when it comes to SBA 504s. I mean, the SBA portion, that 40%, you have to meet specific guidelines. The bank will generally approve the loan, and then SBA will come in and approve that 40%. But there's benefits. There's benefits to this. If your business is going to occupy 51% or more, one is that 10% down payment. I mean, if you're buying $1 million building, I mean, that 10% is quite a bit of money that you can do to make improvements to the building, keep it in your business, do whatever. Or maybe you only have 10% and you don't have 20%.
Mostly people just have the 10% for the down.
Yeah, exactly.
Because the SBA loan, let's be honest, that's like a pretty expensive loan to put together. I mean, the interest rates, that's like the seductive girl in the red dress. But, you know, she has a big appetite for spending money after you hook up. You know, she wants to go buy a car and, you know, get a big house and all that stuff.
Well, there's a lot of fees.
Got to be careful.
There's a lot of fees on the SBA portion. The bank portion is just going to have the regular fees, but the SBA portion has quite a few fees on the front end, and then you have this long.
But so you would take, so it's 40 and 50%. So roughly you could take, like, say, the 2.9 and the 3.8, and I can't do it in my head, but it's probably like 6.7, divided by 2 is like, say, 3.35. So that's like, in essence, you're averaging down your rate during the term of the loan. So it's actually, if no other benefit, you're going to have a less rate.
Well, exactly. And SBA's loans always have prepayment penalties, but then pay down your first.
If
your first has a higher rate anyway. So if you're going to accelerate payment, pay down your first and keep your second in place.
That's what I say, buy it, pay it down, pay it off.
Exactly. So that's SBA. Because the bank is at a 50% loan to value instead of an 80% loan to value, it's in a much better position, even though you've only put 10% down. So there can be some flexibility on underwriting standards, but you still have to be able to show that you can cash flow it. But you can use projections to do that.
So I love the saying where you privatize the gains and socialize the losses, because that's really what's going on. So
that's exactly
as long
what
as this
does.
Thing is making money, the private sector gets to make the money. But if it goes bad, then the taxpayers are going to bail everybody out. So, you know, think about that. Privatize the gains and socialize the losses. I mean, that seems like, you know, nobody thinks about these things.
Well, I think about it all the time. I mean, I am a lender and I do SBA 504 loans, and it's been a real, I've seen people, business owners be able to purchase their own property because of the 504 program. But just as an individual, I really have a problem with, businesses are offloading risk onto the taxpayer.
Exactly.
So then you can't really say, well, entrepreneurialism is capitalism. Well, it's not, because as soon as you get big enough to be able to do an SBA loan, or big enough where you need an SBA loan, you're offloading your risk onto the taxpayer.
Totally.
So now don't get upset when the government comes in and tries to regulate your business.
Right.
So it kind of, it goes both
ways.
I like
to say you get two ends of the stick. You pick up one end of the stick, you get what's at the other end of the stick.
Exactly.
That's how it works in the real world.
So, and then the third one, and Tim sees this all the time, we see it quite a bit, and we refinance a lot of these when they come to their maturity, is where the seller carries back the mortgage. So you're not using the bank at all.
The seller becomes the bank.
The seller becomes the lender. So how about you talk about how that works?
Well, it's really simple. So somebody wants to, you know, buy a building, and hopefully the seller has no debt on the building. And so you just make up the terms. And what most people don't know is that there's a promissory note that's a transaction document. And it's not like a standard document. You can just like get out a yellow pad and start writing out what the terms are going to be. So it'd be, I, Tim, sell you, Robin, my building, and you agree to pay me money every month, which my favorite term, money every month. I'm going to charge you, pick an interest rate, and I'm going to carry the loan for however many years I want to. Or maybe there's an adjuster. Maybe there's not an adjuster, and it kind of just depends on the circumstances. We see these a lot with what I call life transition sale. And that's where somebody who's, let's say, older or in a transition and they're tired of owning their building and managing the building or whatever their circumstances are. Maybe they had one of the four Ds, death, disaster, destruction, or divorce. And so they had a change. And so they want to have a life change. And so, but they want, they like the building and they know the building. And so they want to change what's either pent up equity. So it's just release it so they can get some money every month. And they can, but they know the source of the guarantee of that money. So instead of like selling the building and getting a big fat check and going out and buying a treasury certificate and taking 50 years to get your money back in the US economy, they just say, you know what, I'll sell you the building and you just pay me $1,000 a month for the next 20 years. And so in many respects, it sounds like a lease almost in terms of how the transaction occurs, but the paper is different and it's there's a sale and the buyer buys the building, the seller sells the building, there's a title conveyed, and it's actually a very easy transaction. In fact, I think it's the easiest way to convey property.
And there's no appraisal.
Most people do not understand how it works, yeah. And that's why they can certainly call us and we can walk them through that. It's like a real gift to figure this thing out. And if people really understood this, you'd see a lot more of these.
I think it's a gift on the seller side as well.
On both sides.
Because they're getting an installment sale, so there's a tax benefit there. They're not getting all of the money all at once, so there's capital gains that you're getting away from. They're not going to, if they get all the money, they're not going to be able to earn that right now on.
Well, let's say you sold a building, you got $1 million. What would you do? If somebody dropped $1 million in your lap right now, how would you invest it?
Exactly.
Would you stock market, Bitcoin, or commercial real estate, or you know something? I mean, those
so
are kind of the options.
So just get 5% on it over time.
Yeah, so you're better off saying, "How you just pay me money every month and five." And so here's what's interesting though. Let's say that that building that you're selling for $1 million, let's say, right? You probably bought it for $500,000, and so the 5% you're getting on the million is actually 10% on your investment because you only paid five, but you're selling it for $1 million, right?
So let's say the borrower defaults.
Take the building back.
So you foreclose and you have your building back.
Yeah. There are people that do that for a living that hope that I'm going to sell it, make it onerous terms, and hope I get my building back.
Yeah.
I just had somebody call me up the other day. As you know, maybe you know, one of the things that I do is I do private lending. And I haven't done so much lately because rates have been so low, but I used to do a lot more. But I had somebody call me up the other day, and I said 15%. And you say, well, why would somebody pay you 15%? To borrow money because they can make 25%, you know, so it's just simple math.
Yeah.
And my poor wife always yells at me, yeah, that's too much. You can't charge them that much. And no, it's like, it's, you know what? They're making money on the loan and they cannot get the loan somewhere else. So there's risk involved and that kind of stuff. But it's a really good way to get funding when funding otherwise might not be available.
All right. So those are the three general ways that people fund commercial real estate: conventional commercial mortgages through banks or other lenders, SBA guarantee, that's called an SBA 504, and then the seller it becomes the lender. And we have some sponsors, some friends.
We do. We have like a couple of people that have helped us pay for this operation. One of them is Chris Werner, who is owns Werner Restoration. It's a roofing company in town. And you can find him on the web, Werner Restoration. He put the roof on my house. And if he put the roof on my house, I can recommend him to put the roof on your house. And the other one is Jennifer Payne, who owns Norwest Auto. She's over at 330 North Circle Drive, just at Circle and Platt. And they sell a lot of used cars. And they are like clean cars. She doesn't sell junk. But here's the trick with her deal. She can finance you. If you can't get a loan, you go see my girlfriend over there, and she'll hook a brother up. That's all I'm saying. You know, Norwest Auto.
All right. Well, that's it for episode 4 of Money Every Month. Next week, we have a guest, Holly Trinidad with Hoff
yeah.
and Lee Commercial Real Estate.
I think I know
will
her.
Be here. And she and Tim will be talking about how to choose a commercial real estate broker.
Carefully.
So we'll see you next week with Money Every Month. Thanks for listening.
This has been Money Every Month with Robin Roberts and Tim Lee. Join us weekly for more invaluable insight into the world of commercial real estate. And be sure to listen to the Companion Podcast on Podbean,